Happy New Year, everyone. Has it ever felt more like we need a new year? But let's admit two things, or at least I will, because your experience might be different. So I admit the old year wasn't all bad. In fact, for me personally, it was a pretty good year. The small things that affect my life alone were all pretty good. I had the fun and the love and the friends and the community and a good job and all of that that for most of us counts as a good life. Not too bad. It would be ungrateful not to notice how good I had it once again last year. And it's probably not good spiritually for any of us to dismiss an entire year with a harsh good riddance when our few years of life are such a precious commodity. 117 at the most, probably. And second, we should all admit as we step into the new year that much of the old year is still with us, like my cough from last year's cold. Not a lot has changed, honestly, between last week and today. What made us miserable last week is still causing misery today. We can't get away from the past that easily. We have to work our way out of our problems, not merely escape from them. We have to do the work. And so there is work to do this year, obstacles already arranged before us. The calendar is new, but a lot of the landscape is already filled in. Furniture in a dark room we have to walk around to get where we're going. A mine car on a track that's just going to keep going where it's going unless we spend some purposeful effort to move it. That's how the new year is looking to me. More than ever, that reading from Dag Hammarskjöld Michael gave us as our opening words this morning sounds about right to me. A reading for this particular new year. He writes, "I am being driven forward into an unknown land. The pass grows steeper, the air colder and sharper. A wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. Still the question, shall I ever get there? There, where life resounds a clear, pure note in the silence." Dag Hammarskjöld was the UN Secretary General from 1953 to 1961. He was the second UN Secretary General. He died in a plane crash in Zambia while on official business nearing the end of his second term. The opening words come from a kind of a spiritual diary that he kept throughout his life, meditations and poetry on sacrifice and service and the purpose of life. The diary was published 2 years after his death under the title Markings. In the opening words, Hammarskjöld describes the spiritual, that word is much easier to write than it is to speak. I wish I had thought of that when I was writing out this certain. Hammarskjöld describes the spiritual feeling of moving through life. He says he's being driven forward into an unknown land. Entering this new year feels a little like that. The way is hard, and it's getting harder. The circumstances are forbidding. He says the past grows steeper, the air colder and sharper. And yet there is a destination at the end of this path that's worth the struggle. Hammarskjöld says he is moving toward an unknown land. He says he feels a wind from my unknown goal. But he also says something about there that implies he does have a sense of the goal he's walking toward. There, where life resounds a clear, pure note in the silence. The goal is unknown because the future is always unknown. He knows where he's going, he just hasn't been there yet. So he calls it my unknown goal. But it's his goal. It just isn't known to him yet because it's still an unrealized goal. And despite its hardship and mystery, Hammarskjöld's trip is hopeful. He says that though the goal is distant, a wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. So he's excited. He's eager. He knows where he's going even without knowing exactly what he will find when he gets there. The name of Hammarskjöld's book, by the way, is Markings. It's the English translation of the Swedish word for the signposts on mountain trails that help mountain climbers find their way. So the trip will be difficult, steep and cold, but there are signposts along the way. Follow the paths. Follow the markings. We will get there together. We spent the last several months here at this church talking about the doing part of religion. What are the actions that we take to explore and deepen our faith inwardly and to express our faith outwardly? Those actions, called spiritual practices, are the doing part of religion. What do you do? This morning and through the rest of this church year, I want to turn to a different foundational issue for religion. What's it for? We've talked about what we do. Now I want to talk about why. Why are we religious? What do we hope we will get out of this? There's a significant sacrifice involved of time and mental energy, not to mention the stewardship campaign coming up next month. Although I did just mention that, didn't I? But why? What's it for? What's the goal? Before you start a journey, it's good to know where you're going. Talking about goals seems like a good way to start a new year. Where are you going this year? To what end? Where do you want to be by year's end? Who do you want to be a year from now? Tomorrow, as I mentioned to the children, January 6th is the Christian holiday of Epiphany. It celebrates several events in Jesus' life, his dedication at the temple as an infant when he formally receives his name, his baptism as an adult, which starts him on his life's work, and the transfiguration when a few of Jesus' followers see him revealed as a prophet equal to Moses and Elijah, and a voice from the sky calls him son. All of those three incidents are all about claiming identity, not who you should be, not who others think you are, maybe even not the person that you have been until now, but stepping into the role of being the person that you were born to be. Maybe this is the year you could begin to be who you are, the best version of yourself. That's a good goal for a new year. And maybe the church could help. Why do you come to church? What do you want from your spiritual community? Why are you putting in the effort to commit to a spiritual practice? What do you hope to achieve? Last week, our church's racial justice team asked me to join their monthly meeting. They wanted to talk with me about how our church could be more intentional in living out the line from our mission statement that names one of our church's goals as to lead by creating a multicultural, anti-racist, anti-oppressive congregation and denomination. They wanted to ask me what I could do to help. They had some suggestions, like I could preach a sermon or we could invite guest speakers to preach on specific topics. I told them that before I thought I could help them strategize effectively, that I needed to be more clear about the goal. Where is this journey going? How will we know when we get there? What is the clear, pure note that we will hear? What is the wind that draws us forward? Here are a few responses from the racial justice team from my notes. A goal of learning to decenter whiteness in our congregation, making room for stories from people of color, not carrying around the false picture in our head that the generic UUCLB member has a white face and a white experience. The goal of creating a loving community where, with love, we can call in people who have temporarily stepped out of our covenant. and also non-defensively reflect on our own behavior when we fall short of our ideals. The goal of reminding ourselves of the long history of attention this congregation has paid already to the issue of racial justice. Newer folks in our congregation might not be aware of that history. A goal of doing, not just saying, our anti-racist values, of addressing the dissonance between how we perceive ourselves and how we actually act. The goal of a church where we are always talking about ways we can be more multicultural, anti-racist, and anti-oppressive, where ideas of how to engage more deeply in this work are always coming up. Hearing those goals, I realized that the team was describing a cultural change in our church. That's not the kind of goal that's met through an interim minister preaching an occasional pointed sermon about race, nor inviting a guest preacher to do it for us. Instead, we discussed strategies that might provoke cultural change, owned by every member of the congregation, strategies of inviting many members of the congregation to give personal testimonials during worship about their stories, about how they approached anti-racist work, successes and missteps and learnings. We talked about ways we might make people of color more visible in our congregation. We talked about a pervasive shift in our liturgical language, where anti-racist ideas and goals are constantly present in worship, in responses and prayers, and in the sermon, even when the sermon is not about race issues. You might see some of that coming up in the next few weeks, but we're still working on how to do this. The conversation will continue. But we felt even today it was appropriate for me to lay out something like what I just did, an invitation for the new year from our racial justice team, just to say, here's what we're trying to do. We're going to move through this pass. The goal is beloved community. We're going to look for the signposts. We're going to climb, and we're going to slip. It's a journey. Eventually, we will get to that place where that clear, pure note resounds in the air. So we're going to be talking about several kinds of goals for the next several months, particular goals and more universal goals. I'm going to start in my preaching with several personal goals, that is, religious goals that an individual might be seeking for themselves. The question, what do I want my religion to do for me? And then after Easter, we're going to switch to communal goals, that is, goals that various religions have for all of humanity or for all of existence. The question, what does my faith hope for all people? So we'll start with personal goals next week. For today, I want to end with a short reflection on the nature of goals themselves. Thinking about goals, I started thinking about sports and games, where goals are very important. What's the goal of this game, we ask? How do you know when you've won? Some games have very specific goals. For a jigsaw puzzle, the goal is to complete the puzzle. Some sports have goals that are actually called goals. There are goalies and goalkeepers. To score a point in soccer, you have to get the ball into the goal. And then the crowd screams, "Goal!" In American football, everybody yells, "Touchdown!" But it's still a goal. And there are field goals and goal posts. Goals in many team sports are very clear and discreet. Identifiable. The game ends when the time runs out. Who got the most goals? There's a winner and a loser. The highest score wins, but notice that it doesn't usually matter what the score actually is, just that it be higher than the other team. And it doesn't matter how much higher. Winning by 1 point is the same as winning by 100 points. In a foot race or a horse race, the winner is the one who first crosses the finish line, but the winner is still the winner even if, in the next race, all the other horses come in faster. And the slowest runner is still the loser, even if that runner's time would have been a world record 10 years earlier. A lot of individual sports are more about judges' scores and personal bests rather than objective goals like putting a basket through a hoop the most time in four 12-minute periods. I had to look that up. What's the goal? Well, sometimes the goal is just to do better than last time. And then consider games like most arcade games. These games have goals like kill aliens and keep killing aliens until eventually the aliens kill you. Have you seen that kind of game? These games always end in failure. Keep stacking the bricks, and every time you completely fill a line, the line disappears, but there's always more bricks coming. You don't win these games. The goal is to keep playing as long as you can. That sense of incompleteness makes video games addictive, so you keep playing, watching advertisements or putting more quarters into the machine. Completion brings a sense of satisfaction. Look what I did as you put the final piece into the jigsaw. But when there is no final end, one has to think, where does the sense of satisfaction come from in those kind of games? Like sports, some life goals are very discrete. I'm going to marry the prince. I'm going to be elected president. I'm going to retire by age 55. You know exactly what you want, and you either achieve your goal or you don't, and you know when you're done. Other goals are more open-ended. They're more like those personal best goals, like, I'm going to write a good sermon this week. I'm going to call my mother. I'm going to host more dinner parties this year. For those kinds of goals, the goal is not to come to the end and then earn a prize. The goal is to have an experience throughout the game. It has to be fun stacking those game bricks because that's all that the game is. So people say things like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I agree. And even a game like basketball that has a clear ending and a winner or a loser needs to be fun to watch or play throughout the whole game, or otherwise, why do it? For some games, the question isn't, did we win, but are we having fun? Not, are we done, but how are we doing? Winning isn't everything, but winning is something. The game wouldn't make any sense if there wasn't some way to measure progress and success. It's the destination, the end, the goal, fastest time, most points, fewest strokes in golf, that define what the game is, right? The goal sets the rules. The destination directs the journey. If I gave you a jumbled deck of cards and told you to put them in order by suits and numbers, that would sound like work, and you'd get bored pretty fast. But if I gave you a jumbled deck of cards and told you to put them in order by following a specific set of rules, then suddenly it's a game called solitaire, and you'll spend hours playing. So we need to enjoy the journey because that's called living our life. But we need goals to order our lives, to give our lives a direction and a purpose. We need to be clear about that goal and to keep the goal before us to order our days. Forward through the ages in unbroken line. Wider grows the vision, realm of love and light. For it we must labor till our faith is sight. Bound by God's far purpose in one living whole, move we on together to the shining goal.